The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the election hangover edition. Dom, and only one word comes to mind today. Yes!
Yeah, baby! Crudy, good to see you. Rich, working hard on the board. Thank you, sir. Also, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789, man. Yes!
Yesterday was about no.
No.
And you listened and you acted and you are all the winners for it. Maintaining the status quo, never so difficult as here it is in the great state of Wisconsin. But a couple of constitutional amendments offered, you know, sort of in the dark of, you know, obscurity. You really couldn't understand what these referendums even meant or said. And I was quite concerned. And Dom, my greatest fears never came to reality. In fact, it was a glorious victory, I would say, for Wisconsin voters, because they turned out for a partisan summer primary like they haven't turned out in 60 years. Turnout was excellent, at least on the blue side.
Wow.
Especially for the blue team. People like Tammy Baldwin did exceptionally well. Tammy Baldwin crushed her opponent last night. And even if you took all of her opponent's votes on the Republican primary, talking about Eric Hudvey, and added them all together and assumed they're all going to vote for him and there wasn't some malfeasance afoot by, let's say, voters for this fine program, voting for Charles Barbin. And I know some did. And turned around and voted no twice on the constitutional amendments, Dom. So
what he's telling me, if you take all the combined Republican senatorial primary votes and add them all together, Tammy Baldwin still had more votes than those.
You know who did the math? It was 599,000 votes cumulative for Tammy Baldwin as of like 10 o'clock this morning. There were still like 171,000 uncounted votes, but Tammy ran unopposed. So right. The 171,000 Democratic senatorial votes that are uncounted are probably right. Going for Tammy Baldwin, right?
A majority, certainly, yes.
And Hudvey's votes in total was like 475,000.
Mm.
But then even if you throw in the Barbin and the other guy that nobody apparently voted for, but still, like, it added up to a percentage of like 14%.
Hudvey, that even did not vote for Hudvey.
They didn't vote for Hudvey on the Republican side. But even if you assume they were all Republican, and I don't make that assumption because our audience is a little mischievous.
We know some Dems voted for Barman.
We know some crossed over, but we'll do the right thing and vote for Tammy Baldwin in November. But even if you gave him the benefit of all the Republican votes, it was like 555,000. And Tammy had 600,000 effectively. It's going to be an ass whooping this fall for that guy. He's going to be suing everybody. I want my money back. He's going to sound like
Michaels. Yeah, right?
Yeah, Tim Michaels.
I had that money back. Yeah, well, maybe you should have really wanted to be senator of the state of Wisconsin. You know, when you rolled out your campaign video and didn't mention the state.
Well, Dom, our friend over at the Page Six Journal Sentinel, Dan Bice, He always does the winners and the losers. And the only ones he left off this list, I think the devil's advocates in our fair audience. Because I would winners. Like to think we are the winners for doing our part and getting the word out. And we got hundreds, perhaps thousands of texts yesterday. I quit counting when it got to be a really big number. People that voted no and, you know, were activated and engaged and reassuring to yours truly, Dom. So I got to tell you, I should have slept like a baby last night. Know when I went to bed? Know when Crudy fell asleep last night?
When?
4:30 in the morning.
Oh, my. What? Why?
I was up all night long, couldn't sleep, tossing and turning. I had some shoulder pain. I did some stump pulling this weekend. Oh, man. Still really, really sore.
Sure it's not a heart attack? What shoulder is it, Crudy?
My right shoulder? So that's not the heart attack shoulder, is it? No, it was like, so I'm still in some abject pain, and I realized I can't lay on my side, and I'm a side sleeper, so it got to be a long night. But also the enthusiasm, Dom, my enthusiasm for the outcome of the elective races all across the state. You know, the only one I felt a little bad for, Andre the Giant. Big Andre Jacques up there. I mean, I would have loved the contrast between Dr. Kristen Lierley, this OBGYN, and this hating abortion, hating vaccines, hating everything except the MAGA Messiah.
He was going to
Andre Jacques.
Oh, man, we saw that commercial. Andre the Giant, he's going to beat, you know, he's throwing punches with his robe on and his boxing gloves, and he's going to beat the woke Bob, man. And Jacques, man, I think he got crushed.
Well, he could not beat the Trump-endorsed businessman. The weed man, Tony Weed.
You know, with a name like that, you think it'd be cooler.
You would. We've got the cool one running in the eighth, Dom. We've got a couple of fine guests today, and we're very excited to tell you we've got Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's coming at 4:30 today. She ran unopposed in the eighth. I'm glad. No exertion of energy to clear the primary hurdle. So very excited to have Dr. Kristen Lierley, at least her first interview with us, post-winning the primary, partisan primary yesterday. And the very contentious third CD, Dom. Been watching this one very close. We play in a lot of third CD markets. So as our statewide network joins this fine program at 4 o'clock, we're going to welcome the new nominee of the Democratic Party in the third, Rebecca Cook. We had her on just last week. Met her years ago when she ran the last time in the congressional race. And this time, smarter, better campaign. And despite a lot of mudslinging, she prevailed pretty handily. And Shanklin only succeeded really around the Stevens Point area. Portage, Wood counties, Shanklin did well. Everywhere else, Rebecca Cook overwhelmingly in a three-person race won.
And yeah, so, that was a bigger margin. I thought that'd be much closer than it was.
I was pretty impressed with Rebecca Cook, and I've seen some maturation of her as a candidate and talking about just learning, you know, maybe you got to lose one to win one. But I'm feeling great about this candidate, and she's going to join us on the air today at 4:20, Dom. And also, it'll be a great day with Bill Press in the happier happy hour after 5 o'clock. So if any of your friends ever ask you, what's the greatest radio show ever? It's this one, damn near every day. So I'm feeling pretty damn good, Dom, and I want to go to the winners and the losers. And Bice's headline here at the Journal Sentinel: Donald Trump election deniers in Pocan leads Tuesday's election winners and losers. I like this. Former President Donald Trump showed Tuesday that his endorsement can still pack a punch in a Republican primary. Plucked from political obscurity, former gas station owner Tony Weed knocked off two established Wisconsin politicians, former Appleton State Rep, Roger Roth, and a peer state senator, Andre Jacques, in the GOP primary for the 8th Congressional. And Weed had two big things going for him: his Trump endorsement and $500,000 that Weed put into his campaign from his own pocket.
Nice to be
rich, Dom.
Ain't it, though?
Those two things allowed him to overcome a flood of attack ads by the Speak Free or Die Pack, a group formed this year to prop up Roth, a Among the contributors to the group was GOP mega donor Liz Uline, who has spent millions of dollars backing Trump. They very rarely ever back the right horse. I'm just saying, the Ulines have a terrible track record. Trump gets a win on weed, said one Republican insider. That's big for November. But Trump didn't stop there. Not only did he claim credit for weed's victory, but the former Republican president crowed about his role in a series of other Wisconsin, let's call them non-races, on Tuesday night, Dom. Eric Hudby wins, Trump posted. Endorsed by President Trump.
You're not the president anymore, dude.
Well, he thinks he is. Okay, Hudby, a Madison multimillionaire. Is he from Madison? He did win the GOP Senate primary over two folks you've never heard of. We know Charles Barbin calls this fine program occasionally. He did win with 86% of the vote. That one was never in doubt, but it gets better. U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden wins, Trump proclaimed. Endorsed by President Trump. He's with Drunky Van Orden, Don. Yeah. And as Bice points out, but didn't Van Orden, Republican from Prairie du Chien, run unopposed? Yes, he did.
Yes.
As did U.S. Reps Brian Steil, Scott Fitzgerald, Glenn Grothman, and Tom Tiffany. All Wisconsin Republicans who were the subject of Trump victory post. So much winning. And here you thought you'd gotten tired of it. Yeah. And we'll come back, Dom, with some of the winners and the losers. Because there are definitely some losers last night. And, you know, I would have called it a bad night for the election denialist. Janelle Branchon, your girl, aww, Dom.
Oh, baby.
Where's she going to get a job? Can she go work over at corrupted former state Supreme Court Justice Gableman's office? Can he hook her up, Dom? Because she's soon to be unemployed.
Well, you never know. Perhaps the Young America's Foundation is, you know, looking for someone to work there. You know, maybe the other guy's got political ambition.
Do you think she's on the list of Trump loyalists for the 2025 project, polishing up her resume, looking to take the big step to D.C., Dom?
Not just her, also Ram Jam. Tough day for him as well. The election deniers getting smoked last night. We'll come back with the winners and losers. Daniel Bice over at the Journal Sentinel. Of course, your calls as well. 844-967-2789.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join the political party. Phone lines open for you, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Rich always says yes. Very well done, lightly Rich. Screening them. Low standards. He always says yes. I'm telling you, you can make it through to the greatest radio show ever. Just dial. Dom, before we get back to the winners and the losers, and I'm feeling like a winner today. I hope you all are. We are the winners today. Feels good. The losers are the Republicans. And they've got to be feeling bad. How do I know that? I tuned into your girl, Vicky McKenna. Oh, she is having a god-awful day. Makes me feel even better. I got to tell you, her misery is my glee. Yeah. Because I know she cares a lot politically.
The tears of unfathomable sadness. Yummy.
Vicky McKenna started her show today telling us the Republican Party has lost its statewide mojo. And she also pointed out the...
Does that mean the Republican Party is in disarray?
I think it is. And let's not forget, she's good friends and often provides platform for the denialist of election deniers. Think Branchon, think Gableman, and think your buddy Tim Ramjam. And of course, Branchon and Rantham both lost primaries.
Come on, wasn't the guy leading the Republican Party in the State House Council right now used to be her co-host or at least a very frequent guest on her show?
Oh, you're talking about Brian Schimming? Well, he was her fill-in guest.
Okay, fill-in.
Went on vacation, Brian Schimming would fill in for her. He was just the vice chair of the Republican Party then, Dom.
Not connected at the hip at all. No.
Vicky's having a terrible day. And she is bemoaning the poor turnout and doing the math. And even by her most generous math, the Eric Hudvey points out what a terrible night this man had. Because Tammy Baldwin handed him his electoral ass last night. Her team showed up and she was running unopposed. There was no good reason for the Dems to go out and vote in so many different districts. I mean, I went to vote last night other than the county executive race in Dane County. And yes, you earned my vote, Melissa Agard. But outside of that race, there was nothing, dude. Unopposed, all Dems. So, and I did it. I didn't do the crossover vote thing. Yeah, once bitten, twice shy. I'll never Santorum again, I'll just tell you. So, anyways, I went and I voted straight down the ticket, Democrat. I voted for Melissa Agard in the county executive race. I flipped that ballot over and I voted no twice, Dom. And then I went home and I waited for the returns to come in. And it felt great. It felt great to hear the stunning victories for the blue team and the electoral loss for the red team. And the fact that Vicky McKenna, I mean, she was probably up till 4:30 in the morning too for a whole different reason. Sort of indigestion. Right. Tastes like burning, doesn't it, Vicky? Because the Republican Party has lost its mojo. And if I were Ben Wickler, I would be, you know, obviously, a lot of work to do. Still got to knock a lot of doors. Still got to put a lot of organizational planning and force and plans. You actually got to go and execute them now. But if you're looking for tea leaves, damn, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good today.
Much rather be in this situation than in Vicky's situation. Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel. Some of the losers. I want to start with the loser. Can I start with the loser?
Sure. Who's the loser? Losers get lucky sometimes, Dom.
Not this time. Loser, Stop the Steal lawmakers. Oh, yeah, you know them. It was a bad night for those lawmakers who wrongly claim that Democrats stole the 2020 presidential election from Trump. State Rep. Janelle Branjan, a Menominee Falls Republican, is one of the foremost purveyors of election conspiracy theories and a constant thorn in Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's side. No more. Branjan, who was also endorsed by Trump. Did he tweet out that one? Janelle Branjan, endorsed by President Trump. No, probably not. She lost 65-35. Oh, to state Senator Dan Knodel of Germantown in the GOP primary for the 24th Assembly District, a margin of 3,000 votes out of more than 10,500 that were cast.
And also, Dan Knodel is nobody's winner, just so we're clear, though. Dan Knodel, right, a loser in his own regard, but please continue.
Well, didn't Dan Knodel also sign the document to what?
Sent a letter to Vice President Mike Pence on January 5th of 2021, asking him not to do his constitutional duty and count the Electoral College.
Yeah, and so he's what? He's the less crazy one?
He's above the fray.
I don't know, man. So, yes, Dan
but
Knodel
it tells you
crushed Branjan.
He was sufficiently MAGA to get the support of the Republican base.
Yeah, but not the Republican Messiah, because that went to Janelle Branjan, who still got crushed. Hmm. Also, according to Dan Bice, getting crushed was fellow election denier, former state rep Timothy Ramjam Ramthan. This is the guy who called the cops on us, Curdy, a Campbell support Republican who ran for governor in 2022. He lost in the GOP primary for the 20th Senate District by nearly a 2-1 ratio to state Senator Dan Feyen. Feyen, F-E-Y-E-N, of Fond du Lac. With margins like that, not even Branjan and Ramthan can say that their election were rigged. Oh, come on, Bice. Sticking it to him. Are you sure?
There let's goes your it. Dagger.
let's hear it. Janelle Branjan, I mean, how do you know? How do you know that this wasn't rigged against you? I mean, what evidence do you have in this case versus the last several election cycles that you claim all these conspiracies? How do you know you were robbed, girl? I think you should do an investigation. I think you and maybe Gableman and grant them to, you know, do an investigation, spend time, spend money, raise funds, form a nonprofit, I would get to the bottom of why you lost 65 to 35. Or you could just save your time and just assume that people don't like you very much.
Tom, here's another interesting question. The Daniel Bice, winners and losers. Mark Pocan ran on the ballot last night, won. He's going to continue to be my congressman, I suspect. He will have the general election candidate opponent. I believe it's the rapping Eric Olson guy. Oscillating Eric as his opponent, Charity Berry called him. But I think the last time I checked, Eric Olson had won that, or at least looked like he was going to win the race. But Bice calls my boy, Mark Pocan, a loser.
What?
Yeah, list him as one of the big losers on election night. I think it's got something to do with that third CD and the fact that Rebecca Cook is the winner, and let's just say Katrina Shanklin is not the winner. More Devil's Advocates. You're a winner just for listening.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day, the partisan primary election hangover edition. Dom, I know our friend Vicki McKenna's got a little heartburn. I listened to the top of her show. Very butthurt over there on the right they are. The righty whitey's not happy about the crushing defeat in the statewide referendums. And we are so glad you voted no. Yesterday was the no show. But today we're saying yes to everything. Even Dom.
Everything.
844-967-2789. If you're feeling good, you can join us. Even if you're not feeling good, you can join us. But I will not put CJ on the air today. The answer is still no to you, CJ. No. Don't even bother. I'm feeling too good to wreck it by talking to you. But I feel like this was a glorious victory for the blue team, the Democratic team. They've got some statements. We'll read a few of their press releases this hour, I suspect, as well. But Bice always does his winners and losers. Oh, one digression. Did I mention that the vice president's coming to Milwaukee next Tuesday? Welcome to the Pfizer Forum.
Pfizer, that's a big, big arena.
What? About 20,000 that would seat. She is going to go to the place where the RNC convention was held. And during the middle of the DNC, she's going to get Milwaukee involved. Milwaukee's going to turn out in huge numbers. And during the day, I suspect, don't know the precise details, but Kamala Harris will come to Milwaukee. And so many of you, our friends, are going to be there rocking and rolling. Dom, it's going to be a hell of a doubleheader. If I can do it, if I can pull it off, I'm not just going to do the DNC coverage that day. I'm going to sneak back to Milwaukee and go see Kamala Harris. No promises. Don't know the times. Well, don't know the times. Know the venue. Pfizer Forum. Know the day is Tuesday. And I know if there's 20,000 Raven Blue in that arena, Dom, that is going to be electric. And if I can be there, I will certainly bring you my own insights. But you know, we got like 6 hours of coverage that night. Don't know, I'll have to sleep in.
that's pretty ambitious of you, Michael.
What does Tim Wall say? We'll sleep when we're dead. These are the times I live for, little buddy.
And for the vice president to come to Milwaukee, I love it. I mean, that'll be, she's obviously making the state a huge priority in her campaign, as right as she should do. But Trump is also out of the campaign trail, man. He's been getting a little grief. Where's Trump? Well, he's in Asheville today. Apparently he's holding a rally at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium. They were showing it on CNN for a while, and this auditorium seats 2,431 people. That's a quarter of the capacity of the arena he spoke at in 2016. So Trump's big get back out in Asheville is less than 2,500 people. And Kamala is coming back to Milwaukee, for the at the forum, which holds what, 20,000 ish.
About 20,000. And I bet she's got them coming from the rafters, Tom. I hear JD Vance had a little event. The headline here at the Raw story sort of tells it all. I know we're digressing, but I guess I took us down this rabbit hole talking about the genius of Kamala Harris, including Milwaukee as part of the DNC, because that is right in the middle of the DNC in Chicago next week. Womp womp. JD Vance crowd size at Michigan rally spurs laughter, according to the Raw story. Senator JD Vance came to Michigan Wednesday. The crowds question mark? If I'm being generous, that looks like 10 rows of 10 seats across each side, reported a tech correspondent, Chris O'Brien. So about a total of 200 people, potentially 200 people at a JD Vance rally in Michigan. Maybe former President Donald Trump's running mate addressed the nation from a campaign rally in the Byron Center. Footage from C-SPAN showed a tight shot of Vance standing in front of two trucks, one red, one blue. It's like they're two truck America, Dom. Anyways, photograph shared by commentator Alex Cole and Washington Post reporter Merrill Cornfield showed empty folding chairs in the back row. Cornfield noted more people were hanging out in the shade. The photo of the virtually empty Vance rally going around doesn't accurately depict the crowd size now, she wrote at 1:30 p.m. Cornfield's followers were not impressed. No, I can't imagine they would be by a crowd of 200-ish. Some walked away and sat in the shade. Compare that, Dom. Compare that. Kamala Harris, what? They AI'd, right? Trump losing his freaking mind because in an airplane hangar, she had 15,000.
Well, couldn't Trump say that they AI'd, you know, Vance's lack of crowd and there were actually tens of thousands of people there?
Well, he makes that claim often.
There's 107,000 people there.
There's 4 billion, trillion, quadrillion people there. Everybody was there. Yeah, certainly the enthusiasm seems to be waning on the side. You know, I mentioned and compared it to, you know, the humor and shock of someone like Andrew Dice Clay, you know, the shtick just getting old. But now that he's got Vance, I think it's more like the Jerky Boys.
Okay, sizzle chest.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's just, it's funny for a second, and then it's just, it's time to go.
844-967-2789. You can call me El Conquistador. Dom, back to the winners and losers. Then we'll get to our audience on the phone, on the text line. Again, for the Gen Xers and others, the phone line is the text line. It's the same number.
It's the same thing.
So if you call us and ask us what the text line is,
we may mock you.
844-967-2789. You only need to write it down once. What a time savings we offer.
Isn't it, though?
Back to the winners and losers. According to Daniel Bias over on the page 6 of the Journal Sentinel, U.S. Rep. Mark Pocan. I can't believe my congressman now being labeled a loser, despite the fact he ran unopposed last night.
And won.
It was not so long ago that Pocan tried to play peacemaker among the Democrats in a contested primary election. In fact, he didn't endorse in the 2018 Democratic primary for governor for that very reason. Well, I think it's because I dropped out, Tom. You know, he had a favorite.
Yeah.
He tried to play Democratic conciliator again in the U.S. Senate primary in 2022. But this year, Pocan went from peacemaker to pit bull. In recent weeks, he repeatedly attacked Democratic candidate Rebecca Cook in her race against Democratic State Rep. Katrina Shanklin in the 3rd Congressional District. And the veteran Madison poll politician, I guess, frequently tweeted about Cook's attacks on Shanklin, accusing Cook of being deceitful and calling on her to disavow dark money groups, even though it does not appear the groups were 501c4s. Despite all that, Cook won comfortably on Tuesday. And what happens now, no doubt Cook and Pocan will break bread and maybe even agree for a campaign together against Van Orden, their common foe, in Pocan. will forever forfeit his role as Democratic Party peacemaker. Yeah. I did question why my congressman, who I respect a lot, I always admired Mark, and I didn't know why he waded in here. I didn't see a good reason why, but I can tell you, we've had the opportunity to interview Cook 4 or 5 times now, over 2 elective cycles. I feel like she's matured as a candidate. I feel like for that part of the state, Western Wisconsin, she might have been the right choice. The voters certainly thought she was the right choice.
Well, yeah, she won. She's the right choice.
And despite
what the voters decide.
Despite all the unions, despite all the celebrities, including Mark Pocan, who lined up behind the candidacy of Katrina Shanklin, Rebecca Cook quietly went out there, out-fundraised her, and beat her ass on primary election night. And pretty much everywhere that wasn't Shanklin's home base of strength in the Stevens Point area. But that is a big-ass district. If you look at the back of Russ Feingold's hand, you know, he always represented Wisconsin with the back of his hand. It's like two of your fingers up to maybe the first knuckle. There's
a lot of land up
there.
And then
there's a jut out to the middle of the state. It goes up and grabs Stevens Point. And again, Shanklin was successful in Stevens Point, but Cook won everywhere else. And Cook is joining us today at 4:20, and I recommend that you get behind this candidate. I think she's good. Yeah. I think she is perhaps a moderate. Maybe she's not as progressive as Shanklin would have governed. That's okay. Ron Kind was not a flaming liberal. Ron Kind was a pretty blue dog sort of a Democrat, and he held that seat for 24 years, I believe.
And he many, many years of laying down the seed corn, Ron Kind.
Well, we're going to reintroduce you to general election candidate Rebecca Cook at 4:20. We're going to reintroduce you to general election candidate Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN. She's running in the 8th against the Trump-endorsed Tony Weed. And I can tell you, both of these candidates can win if you support them, if you get the word out, if you give them a few bucks if you can afford to, or if you go knock some doors for them. So I strongly recommend both of these candidates, and we're proud to bring you both. One at 4:20, that'll be Rebecca Cook. And at 4:30, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, they're both on this big show. And our buddy Bill Press in the 5 o'clock hour. So greatest radio show ever. Absolutely. And we got more people listening to us right now, probably just on the street, than J.D. Vance had show up in his whole rally in Michigan.
844-967-2789. We do have some info on Hovde. I want to get to, but let's get at least get one caller in here while we have some time. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, if you're in a kind of a lyrical frame of mind right now, I'm feeling groovy. And to paraphrase Mr. Meatloaf, Hovde's a lemon and he wants his money back. And maybe it's time to take Tom Petty's song to make the point and roll another joint and feel good, get good and loud and feel proud.
It was a good night, Mark. It was a good night. Thanks, man. We appreciate your input always. 844-967-2789. I'm not used to this feeling, man. Fruit. It's just weird. My mouth keeps going up on the edges, and it makes me show my teeth. I'm not used to this. It's so strange, politically speaking.
I think they call that joy.
Is that what that is?
Damn. It does feel a little foreign and strange for the blue team. But this was a massive electoral victory for the blue team. And if you're looking for tea leaves, I got to tell you, the polls would suggest that Kamala Harris now has the enthusiasm of Democratic voters.
Certainly.
That the Democratic Party, this campaign of Harrison Walls, is on the march, is doing better all the time. And considering this will be the first election in the state of Wisconsin with fair maps in a decade, I am very optimistic about what this could foretell for this fall, and especially for female candidates. I mean, in light of Dobbs, in light of Roe, in light of these Republican extremists wanting to take away reproductive rights, all freedoms, really, many, many freedoms, but especially from women. I love the fact it's women stepping into the breach.
Oh, they won't
women
stop
seeking to represent.
Certainly. But that's their main, I don't know why, driving force to bring it back to the good old days of the 50s and 60s. But, you know, that low turnout that, you know, as compared to the blue team here in the state of Wisconsin, they haven't gone against each other yet, right? And so abortion, not really an issue in the Republican primaries. You know, hell, they don't even want to talk about it if they don't have to. Well, they're not going to be able to get away from it when they start going up against the Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin. It is a big deal, and there's a lot of strong, intelligent, powerful women who are going to represent a lot of people that are not happy with the way the Republicans have been trying to govern their lives.
And the fact that Vicky McKenna is miserable today should put a smile on everybody's face. I mean, they're in disarray, Dom. They've lost their mojo, according to their own, what would I call her, propagandist?
Why not?
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Never give you propaganda, only give you the truth. Today, the word on the street is yes!
Yes!
Come back with us. We'll take your calls. Hell yes, that's the answer. 844-967-2789.
Fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Dom, I'm feeling good for the blue team. I'm feeling good that the constitutional referendums were handily defeated. Jeff on the text line acts like I didn't know that. Like, I need you to tell me it was a... I think he called it a, who is the most recent addition to the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
That would be, what's her name? Hell. It would be,
Crota Saywitz, thank you.
Crota Saywitz, thank you. Damn it.
Why would I ever think you're going to fill in the blanks in my memory?
Very rarely. Very, very rarely.
If you ever did, that would be a special day, Dom. But anyways, I appreciate the effort. It looked like it hurt you a little bit.
It was.
Man, I almost said Kloppenburg, but Kloppenburg is a race gone by. Proto Saywitz. I think Jeff was implying specifically, Jeff cracking at me, our trash text and attorney buddy from Shorewood. Crudy, wouldn't the no vote show more of a statewide feeling? It was a Judge Janet-style ass-whooping. Check the numbers on the no vote. When did I imply otherwise, man?
Well,
don't wreck my good feeling here.
55, 45? I guess I didn't see the exact final numbers.
I thought it was greater than that last night. I thought it was like 58, 42, at least when I was looking at the numbers last night. It was. It was massively turned back. And I was very concerned, as you well know, and this was not... fake concern. I was concerned that we hadn't gotten the word out. But what this tells me, this relatively high turnout summer election, I mean, like best turnout for a partisan primary in 60 years, Tom, people are itching to go vote. They're itching to go vote for the blue team. And I can tell you what, if I'm the Hubdy campaign, if I'm a righty whitey talk radio host, I'm looking forward to a Harris administration in the fall and Tammy Baldwin winning the Senate campaign, unless something changes dramatically. And next week, Dom, we pivot to the DNC. You and I are going to be doing coverage in Chicago. We're going to do this show 4 to 6. Maggie Dawn's going to cover our 3 o'clock shift, at least here in Madison. And we're also going to anchor, not just here in Civic Media, but also for Chicago and Minneapolis, we're going to anchor the coverage all week long from the DNC. And then Kamala Harris, just to really break my brain last night at like 4 a.m, decided she's coming to Milwaukee to break my schedule, but to do what is politically genius and incorporate Milwaukee as part of the DNC, the party, the excitement, the energy, Milwaukee becomes part of that. This is brilliant, Dom. But it's really hurt my brain because I want to do everything. I have a fear of missing out on any of these political events. So I'm going to do my best, but no promises, because this might be more than even Crudy can pull off.
The interwebs say that the Pfizer holds about 18,000 people for concerts. So this would probably be, you know, similar kind of availability.
I would guess so.
That's a big arena. I mean, that's probably the biggest arena she'll have been in since she became the presidential candidate, right?
I got to think it's
here in Milwaukee.
Going to be electric, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when Barack Obama did the Kohl Center, I believe, immediately after he won the primary in the state of Wisconsin. And that was a rock and roll sort of event. I was not in the room. I actually listened to coverage from outside the room. But I remember listening to the excitement in that room. And I imagine come Tuesday, and I would encourage all of you, go to Kamala on Tuesday. If you can get off work, if you can make it, go see the show. Go see if what I'm telling you, this excitement, this energy on the Democratic side is real. Go be a part of it. Go feel it. And you will be motivated to go knock doors, go do anything you can. And I got to tell you, Dom, this last month of my life, perhaps the best month ever.
Better than college, man.
Well, we had some good times, but you can't remember most of them. 844-967-2789. One last thought here. Dan Bice does a little more inside baseball, talks about the mayor and county executive of Milwaukee, David Crowley and Chevy Johnson, both endorsed against a sitting Democratic incumbent in Ryan Clancy, state rep from Milwaukee. They got behind a lawyer, Jared Anderson, something of a political neophyte, but they primaried this socialist running as a Democrat who irks. I've never seen a guy who irks the establishment more than this guy does. Ryan Clancy pisses off everybody in the Democratic Party. But this is a second example of the party.
That sound familiar, Crudy?
I admire some part of the pot stirring that Ryan Clancy does. Now, ultimately, legislative accomplishments is how I will judge his career as a lawmaker. But I will tell you, the party establishment's efforts to pick a winner in the primary did not bode well. I mean, the grassroots, I'm talking specifically the third CD, they didn't go with Pocan. They didn't go with the unions. They didn't go with all the endorsements because Katrina Shanklin had all the endorsements and Rebecca Cook won handily. And in this race, I realize smaller scale, but in this legislative race in Milwaukee, Ryan Clancy won like 55-45. So it's almost like his constituents appreciate him, the people closest to him that voted for him.
Yeah.
And the Democratic power structure that is. And I like Chevy. And I like David Crowley a lot. David's a friend of ours. But I can tell you, don't wade into primaries. I've even learned that lesson, Dom.
What?
Until the next presidential.
Have you?
We'll see if Bernie's on the Sanders. Bernie Sanders is on the ballot. Then I only accept Bernie. I wade into senatorial politics in Vermont. And if he runs for president again, he's still my guy. He's never too old. Devil's Advocates, the 4 o'clock hour, a happy hour. I'm feeling happy. Yes, I am. And it's next.